Turn your Bibles to the book of James. In the book of James, it talks to us about some things and the way that it is with us. You know, we have to, as mentioned this morning, we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We got to pin this old man down, mortify him, crucify the flesh, as the scripture talks about. And, you know, I was talking to someone here recently and telling him about a thing that the Lord had helped me out with here a few years ago. It's helped me to maybe understand a little bit better about how it is living in this life. This old man, this old flesh, this old mind, this body, what you can see, this bone, flesh, and blood that you can see, it's still at enmity with God. We need to understand that. This old body does not want to obey the Lord. Doesn't want to do it. Even though I've been saved by the Lord and the Spirit of God lives within, my soul has been saved, this old body doesn't want to serve the Lord. That's the reason the scripture talks about that. Is it talks rather harshly about this old man, this flesh, that and uses words like crucify and mortify. That's what the mortician does. They get the body all set, so in the viewing and everything, not to be morbid or anything, but in the viewing, during the viewing, you won't have them, the body won't sit up and or things like that. I mean, we've heard of those horror stories. That's what the mortician does. And so there's not a spectacle out of that. And they take care. That's what their job, that's what they take care of doing. And we've got to do that to this flesh so it won't rise up. The Lord tells me to witness, tell folks about Jesus Christ, and I tell you frankly, and sometimes I'm afraid. I've been afraid over the years. Why is it that we'd be afraid? And I think there's a thing that happens that if we don't understand this about the flesh, that we say, well, since I'm afraid, then I'm not there to where I can do it. I'm not there to where I can speak. Well, the newsflash is go ahead and do it, whether your body likes it or not. You may turn beet red, you may break out in sweat all over, you might have sweat drops pop up on your head. Maybe you need to make a stand for something that somebody said or something that somebody's done around you. Maybe something that somebody's done around your family that's inappropriate. Need to make a stand, not be ugly about it, but let them know, you know, the way decency should be or such as that, you know, according to the word of the Lord. And we might be fearful, or we might be, maybe we get angry. We need to pin that down too, don't we? You know, and do it right. Go ahead and do it right, because realize this flesh, bone, and blood is on the enemy's side. It's on the enemy's side. We got to drive it. We got to drive the body to go the right way. We got to starve the flesh, starve the old man, and we got to feed the new man. Because whichever one we feed, that's the one that's going to win. Not talking about salvation. I'm talking about service and life. And I think James speaks to us some in that. Here in the book of James, one epistle written, it's called a general epistle, in that it's not particularly written to a church, although we've mentioned many times to you that as we come to the Scripture and come to the New Testament Scripture, the New Testament Scripture doesn't know anything other than saved people being baptized and joining the Lord's church. That's the plan. That's a pattern. That's all God knows. That's all God teaches. Men change it, and we know that, and that happens. It's not right. It doesn't thwart the Lord by any means. We may lose, as individuals, as people, folks may lose out on blessings. They might lose out on benefit by not following the Lord. Isn't that the case with all of us? If we don't follow the pattern God gives, we lose out, right? God doesn't lose out. He doesn't need us in the first place. But He shares with us, doesn't He? He bestows upon us His goodness, and we profit with all, don't we? We profit in it all. And we're blessed of Him in it. So this epistle is written to those with an understanding that they would be in the Lord's church. And it is written by who? Well, it's written by the Lord's brother, isn't it? The Lord's half-brother. Yeah, it's not James, the brother of John, that writes it. He was martyred pretty early on there in the book of Acts. It's James the Less. James the Less, whose brother also, I believe, is Jude, right? Does that make a connection with you? Turn over here to the book of Jude real quick. It's very interesting. Here, the book of Jude starts off, verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. He is his servant, brother of James. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Jude writes and he says, well, I'm James' brother, but I'm the servant of the Lord. And James, also being the half-brother of the Lord, he's pastor there at the first church in Jerusalem, it seems like, and we see that in the book of Acts. He's going to write. He's going to write about some things. And, you know, he's writing to save folks. And he's going to use some pretty tough language at times. He's not going to get vile or wicked in it or that, but he's going to get tough. Why? Because we need tough. We need it. We need to be convinced. And sometimes it's just that way that we just need it pretty plain, put it pretty straight. You know what happens is what can happen to all of us, it can happen certainly to all of us, that because of the deceitfulness of sin, right? The sin comes along and says, not to make sin out a person, but it is truly there. Sin comes along and says, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Won't hurt. This one won't hurt. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. It won't cost you that much, but it will. Sin always compromises us. Sin always compromises us, especially the child of God. We've been, as James is going to speak about, we've been called to liberty. Liberty, freedom, freedom. We got Independence Day coming up. And it is great to live in a country where we're free. We can meet together this afternoon. We don't have to worry about hiding from the cops. We don't have to worry about the police. We don't have to worry about having the lights low or meeting out back and singing soft or low. We don't have to worry about getting too loud and preach. And we don't have to worry about those things. Liberty. But that liberty, the liberty is not that we can go and serve God however we want to. That's not at all what it is, because the Lord is one Lord. He's been one Lord all along. He's one God. He's been that way all along. And he has one line of truth that he's established, hasn't he? Yeah. Yeah, he has. And so it's not liberty to go and freelance serve the Lord the way we want to, is it? No, it's not. It's the liberty that we have in Christ is we've been freed from sin, so we can now serve. So we can now serve. It talks in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about, there's a chapter there that talks about giving. And maybe one day preach a message about that or teach a lesson about that. It talks about giving. And it talks, the apostles talking to the church there at Corinth about giving and how they should give. And that chapter ends up with something along the line of praise the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Now, we can take that passage, and I've heard it done, and even done it myself, and talking about the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father for our sins. But that's not really the context of that chapter. That's not what that's talking about at all. What it's talking about, I believe, in that chapter, and I challenge you maybe to go find it tonight and read it real quick. It's a short chapter. But what it's talking about is that the Lord has given to us and has given us an understanding so that we can give to others. Maybe it'll be money. Maybe it'll be food. Maybe it'll be a witness. Maybe it'll be encouragement. Maybe it'll be physical help. But God's gift to us is that he has touched us, freed us from sin, shown the truth unto us, and revealed himself unto us. And now, if you will, as the children of God, we've got a choice of whether we're going to pursue evil or we're going to pursue good. Right? You decided to come this afternoon, didn't you? And if someone has a hindrance or whatever, well, then there they were. But if, as an example, if those were there and they said, do we go or do we not go? They had it before them. And they decided. That's the way it was for all of us. That's the liberty that we've been called to. We've been liberated to serve. We've been liberated. We've been liberated from sin that had us pinned down, drugged down, taking us down and killing us. And as a lost, dead in trespasses and sins individual, every move we'd make would be towards sin. Every action that we would take, every thought that we would engage, it would be towards sin. It would be against God, period. But we've been freed from that. We've been freed from it. We read in Galatians there the last several Sundays about the fruit of the Spirit and how the apostle there, he says, don't use liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but use that freedom to serve one another. To serve one another. That's what we've been freed. We have been set free from sin so that we can follow the Lord. We may follow the Lord now. We have the Spirit of God within now. We can hear. We can be touched by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We have his word that will work in us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we can know. John writes, I'm not writing to you because you don't know. I'm writing to you because you know. Because you know what the word of the Lord says and is. Sometimes we just got to make ourselves be happy because the old body doesn't want to. Sometimes we just got to make ourselves glad because the old body doesn't want to. How is it that the Lord wants? Is our mind of the Lord an old grump sitting on a seat up there grousing about how his children are not serving him well? May the Lord help us that not be our attitude. It's not that way. The Lord smiles when we obey him. And he winks with his eye and quivers with his eye when we don't. And he considers and he writes things down. And then when it's time, if need be, because I'm his son, he comes and gets me. Jim, straighten up. Because he loves me. Well, here James, he writes to the Hebrews, writes to the Jews, but it is here to us also. And here in James chapter 1, verse number 1, we read, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't claim his kinship. He doesn't claim who he knows by blood through his mother, if you will. But he claims his Savior, his God. He claims his God. He says, I'm a servant of God, and I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. His name is Jesus, and he is the Messiah. He's my Savior. He died for me. I serve him. I love him. I desire him. What he says is what I want. He is preeminent. He's first in my life. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, hello. Hello. How you doing? Greeting. He's writing to the Jews. By the time that he writes this, possibly, it's been in that time where that persecution has come upon the first church. The persecution upon the church that involved Saul of Tarsus, and no doubt many others that were involved, but the Lord touched Saul. And of course, he's called Paul later on. But that great persecution that comes upon that church there at Jerusalem, there's thousands that have been saved. As we saw Wednesday, all those priests, many priests that were obedient to the faith that the Lord saved, they're there, and the Lord has given his commission to them. And exactly the time frame of it, whether it's just a couple years or so, it seems like that's the case. That Lord has given that commission to go, but the church isn't moving, it seems like, the way that the Lord would have it do. And this persecution comes down. It doesn't thwart the Lord, but even as Stephen gives his testimony and witness, even as James is taken by Herod and there and put to death, and it seems he gets a thrill out of it because it pleases the Jews. And so he grabs a hold of Peter also, doesn't he, thinking to do the same thing to him. The persecution comes, and they start scattering out. We got Peter writing his epistles ultimately from over there, way over there, Babylon to the east, right? And we got epistles written to those churches there in Asia Minor. And we know there's a church at Rome ultimately from the way the scripture tells us. And so the Jews that are scattered, the apostles writing to them, as pastor of the church of Jerusalem, is writing to them. He says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, when he speaks to them, unlike the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is a commentary about the Old Testament, where the apostle that writes shows how Christ is the fulfillment of everything that God gave Moses and more. Well, in this, he doesn't, in the book of James, he doesn't mention anything about really anything that much pertains to being a Jew. But he writes the things about living. He writes to them from the standpoint maybe about them wanting to fall back into their sacramental, sacrificial law ways. We know there in the first church, there were those that rose up and said, you know what, these that are saved, they need to be circumcised to make that all right. And the church dealt with that. And they didn't go down in a room down somewhere and deal with it. They dealt with it openly, right there amongst the body. That's an example that we have about dealing with issues in the church, that it was dealt with in front of the body, by the body, there before the body. And they dealt with it, and they said the way it is. No, salvation is by grace through faith. It's not by the keeping. It's not completed by doing anything or by taking and pulling this law back. But James may write to them about things where they would want to fall back into it, but he talks to them, namely, about attitude and about service. Attitude. We can control our attitude. We can control our composure, our demeanor, the way we carry ourselves. It is representative. It is a piece of our conversation. May the Lord help us to see how that is. James, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, verse number 2, he starts off, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, because they've been doing it. If this is after the persecution that's come upon the first church, it's been happening. They've been tempted. When Saul came around threatening, said, I'll put you in jail if you don't deny Jesus. I'll put you in jail if you don't talk down Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, that one that you claim is Messiah. We know that he is just a nothing. I'll put you in jail. I'll have you killed. Recant it. Speak against it. Blaspheme his name. Or as he would say, give God the praise. And that's what they were doing. They were giving God the praise because he had sent his son. They were falling into different kinds of temptations. Said, if you don't recant it, we'll take your children from you. If you don't recant it, we'll take your pastor and we'll take him down here and we'll throw him in the ditch. Count it all joy. Oh boy. Temptations. To all kinds of divers temptations. He says, brethren, count it all joy Brethren, we that have been saved, we that have been made kin in the Lord Jesus Christ, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. You know, temptations can be good or bad, can't they? We can have a temptation and have an abundance of blessing, can't we? There are some folks that were promised and given a land flowing with milk and honey. Who were they? Right? And that land flowing with milk and honey, we had that during the VBS, and we asked the kids, what's that mean? It's blessed. It's blessed, isn't it? And the land flowing with milk and honey, they don't need the chemicals that Brother Bobby sells. I mean, he's nearly out of business because it just all grows so good there. It's a blessed land. It's a prosperous land. And did they have to work it up? No. It was ready to go. Did they have to build a house? No, it was built. Did they have to build the corrals and the fences and stuff? No, it was ready to go. And that was a temptation to them, wasn't it? Because during the time of Joshua, to the end of the Judges, and even on, for 350 years with the children of Israel, it is up for 20, down for 40. Up for 40, down for 20. Up and down and up and down. Because when the prosperity, the blessing, in that they forgot God. You know, that's kind of the shape our country's in, isn't it? We've been blessed. We've been blessed, and we can't measure up how much we've been blessed. But being human beings, when we got a blessing, we say, man, look what we've done. Look how we've put it together. Look how we've stood. Look how we've gone away from the Lord. We take his blessing and use it to sin against him. May the Lord help us to see that. You know, there's bad temptations too. Like I mentioned, when they would come and they would grab a hold of a man's family that had been preaching, and they say, we're going to kill your family if you don't quit preaching. We're going to run off and take your children if you don't quit preaching about Jesus. Well, that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? It would. It would. But are not all things possible with God? Yeah. I mean, is it for real? May Lord help us. We need his grace. We need his strength to endure. But there's good and bad temptations. There's easy and there's hard temptations. But he said, count it all joy when you fall into these temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. That pressing on of your faith, is your faith real? Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith not fail. Satan wants to press on you. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to bust you up, because what he's saying is you're all chaff. That's what I get out of that. He desires to sift you like wheat. And because he believes you're all chaff. You're all blow. You're big talk. And Peter had his time, didn't he? Oh, but praise God. The Lord said, but I've prayed for thee. I've prayed for thee. And that's what I need. That's what I need. I need the desire of the Lord upon me to give me strength, to give me utterance of his word, to give me that the ability to do that which he would have me to do, to stand in him, to stand against the temptation or the trial. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the exercising of that faith, worketh patience. You know, we all have times that it's all coming from all directions. It's coming from all directions. You ever had a time like that? Sure, we all have. We all have. Phone won't quit ringing, and every time you pick it up, it's more bad news. More bad news. This one had a stroke. This one had a wreck. This one's got to be put over in an institution because they're become dangerous to the spouse. It just keeps on coming. Keeps on coming. Keeps on coming. Will we try to reason it and reckon it and take care of it and deal with it ourselves? Or will we bow in prayer and say, Lord, help us, help them, help me? That stretching of that faith. That faith. Because see, faith is not a thing that we just kind of got in a bucket. Faith is trusting in the Lord. That He'll perform it, that He'll do a thing. That He will work. That when it's beyond me, which all of it is, when it's beyond me, that He'll work. That He'll do the doing of it. That He will work. He'll give strength to bear it, or He'll work in it to ease it, or He'll bless, or He'll give that peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. He says, count it all joy when these temptations come along, when you fall into them. Because this trying of your faith, it's going to work patience. And patience is one of those fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Being able to abide in patience, possess ye your souls. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord to move. Waiting on the Lord to work. Waiting, you know, that's the biggest thing that we have to deal with, isn't it? Because how's it going to be? Right? Circumstance comes up. One recently for us is my dad's got this problem. He goes for the test. We got to get to the test, and we finally get to the test, and then has the test, and then what is it? I'm praying to the Lord that it won't be cancer. We're praying that the Lord that He'll be merciful, that it won't be something that's just so bad. But then what do we have to do? We got to wait. And then now He needs to have the surgery, and the surgery is going to be here sometime in the future. And what do we have to do? We have to wait. We've got those that we desire that the Lord will save, right? And we need to be a witness to them, telling them about the Lord, praying for them, tell them we're praying for them, and encouraging them that they need to hear the Lord and believe the Lord. But what do we have to do? Wait. We got to wait. And are we just going to throw up our hands and get tired of waiting and rail on God because He hadn't done it in our time frame? Well, that won't be patience, will it? Sometimes the thing's got to be done in the church. And it has to be done. And then it's done. And then what would we got to do? We got to wait. You could insert 100 things in there. Knowing this first, that the trying of your faith worketh that fruit of patience. But He encourages them here and He says, but let patience have her perfect work. James was taken by Herod and put in jail. And then he had to wait till they took him out and they killed him. And they did. Peter, historically, we're told the same thing. Paul, the Apostle Paul, put to death in Rome, as we understand. They had to wait. Would the Lord deliver? The Apostle Paul was reading the other day in one of the epistles that he wrote, he planned on going to Spain. Remember that? He planned on going on over to Spain, all the way on that side of Europe. But then the sentence came down one day, and he had to wait. And would it go on and he'd be released or something change? Or would he come to the end? Let patience have a perfect work. Let patience, have a perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect, that ye may be mature, that ye may be fully equipped, that ye may be the most representative of the Lord Jesus Christ as you can be. Entire, wanting nothing. Complete in Christ. Yeah, but you don't have any money. Yeah, but you don't have a place to live. The disciples came to the Lord and said, from John the Baptist, and said, where you live? He said, it ain't much. Come see. And he said in another place, said, I don't have even a place to lay my head. That's how meek and lowly the Lord came. He gave up every aspiration of any kind of pursuit that men take on for our sakes. And even when they had him, and there, as we saw in a study of the Lord's Supper, as he waited and desired to go on and fulfill the things the Lord had given him to do, he was patient for the timing, wasn't it? Could have got on the cross and rushed it through 3 hours, but he was supposed to hang there 6. He was patient, hanging there on the cross. Let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, ye may be mature and entire, wanting nothing. And then he goes on here and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally. God has got wisdom that abounds. He's got wisdom and wisdom and on top of wisdom. He is wisdom. And he's got it. And if you want wisdom, you don't understand what I'm writing to you about, ask the Lord to help you to understand it. You don't understand how to accomplish it? Ask the Lord to help you that it be accomplished in you. Ask the Lord. Speak to the Lord. That's the humbling that we have before the Lord, is that we ask him for that which we need. If we lack, ask. He's got plenty of it. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. And he upbraideth not. He said, what do you mean you coming here for some wisdom? Don't you have any of your own? No, Lord, I don't. But he doesn't answer that way, does he? He gives. He said, you want wisdom? You avail yourself to me and my word, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. He'll do it. He's promised it to his children. We're not foreigners. We're foreigners in this world, but we're not foreigners to the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, is the caveat, that the Lord will do it. Not that, well, that didn't work. That's our tendency, though, isn't it? That didn't work. Lord, I got this thing going on at work, and I need help with it. You know, in the work that I did before, I prayed a lot. I'd go in on something and talk to the guy that knew what was going on with it or how it was messed up, and I'd say, okay, Father, what's it going to be? That's just a practical example of hardware. But I was naive enough to believe that the Lord could help me in that. Because I'm a child of the King. And you know what? He always did. He always did. He would make something apparent. He would make something obvious. He would lead in a direction to go, and it would be what was needed. It wasn't me. But even in my work, I asked the Lord to help me, and he helped me. He gave me wisdom. And when I saw that and realized that, I began to pray for it more. And he blessed. And if he'll do that with the work, won't he do that with things that are of more, even more value than that? Amen, he sure will. Won't he do it in his church? Amen, he sure will, because his church is precious to him. Will he give us wisdom? Yes. That unction, that anointing that we've seen over there in 1 John that the Lord promises us, he will show us. The Comforter will remind us, won't he? He'll remind us what the Scripture says. He'll lead us into truth. He'll show us the things that we need. If we want it, and we humble ourselves to ask for it, he's promised that he will. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, the Lord don't care nothing about that. That's what you get. If the Lord doesn't care anything about it, then that's what you get. And then you know what you got left? You and me doing it on our own. And that's plumb sorry, isn't it? It is. It is. It is. Oh, but if we ask for the Lord's blessing and believe that he can show us. Count told, and you know, I tell you what, there was a time I was a skeptic. I'll be honest with you. A fellow that I know, near and dear to me, he was working on an engine. He'd done it before, pulled this engine out of his truck, rebuilt this engine. He's a machinist. He knows how to deal with mechanics. He knows about dealing with engines and vehicles and stuff. He was not ignorant about it. He knew how to do it. Got this engine put back together and all ready and ready to go back in the truck. It won't go. It won't go in. He doesn't see why it won't go in. He's pushing and prodding and carrying on and all that. His spiritual brother, you know, a brother in Christ is there with him, says, well, won't we pray about this? He said, what do you mean pray about putting an engine back in a truck? What are you talking about? That's craziness. He said, no, it's not. You're a child of the Lord, aren't you? Yeah, yeah, the Lord saved me. Well, doesn't he say you can ask him for anything? Yeah. Well, you doing any good the way you're doing? No. Well, won't we pray about it? I feel foolish praying about it. Let's go ahead and pray about it. So they do. And then they go back over and goes right in. Now, is that pie in the sky crazy, weird, or for real? I'm naive enough to believe that it's for real. Because the Lord has made a promise. See, do we believe that God has made a promise? See, your little children, your little grandchildren, don't you care for them? Sure. Sure we do. Sure we do. And if they come and ask something that's straight and right, or they kind of come and ask something that's kind of goofed up and weird, don't we want to help them all we can? Well, doesn't the Scripture tell us that the Lord will do better if we, being evil naturally, will want to do that for our children? God being good, won't he do it better? Amen, he will. Amen, he will. He sure will. Let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Jude talks about those that are seas waving around, foaming out their own shame. They're never settled. They have no peace. He says, if you don't ask in faith, and you waver, you're like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. If you don't believe the Lord can do it, then yeah, don't even bother. Oh, but the Lord will do it. He makes us promises. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's a lot that can be said about that. We need to have the mind of Christ. Singleness of mind. In the church, a unity of mind. And I pray for us that the Lord will bless us with that we'll have in our church, we'll have a unity of mind round about his word and what the Lord says. We'll have a zeal. It says that there when the Lord went into the temple and he threw out the money changers, he said the Scripture was fulfilled that the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. He couldn't take how they were defiling the temple of the Lord. I pray for us that we would have a zeal for the house of the Lord. Not this building, but the house that we've been built together in that would eat us up. that would just eat us up. And we have a desire and a zeal to be here. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in every way he goes. We need to have confidence in the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us by those promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Is there anything the Son, the only begotten Son, doubted the Father could do for him? Mm-mm. And he, yet obedient to the Lord, in everything prayed to him, didn't he? Every single thing. Oh, Brother Jim, that's just so pie in the sky. That's just too much. Listen, if it's not that way, I don't know what that book is saying. If it's not that way, I do not know what that book is saying. Divers temptations. When you're out of work for a year and you make a stand about the Lord's day, and you may be getting tempted to give in to it. And I'm not saying that that's the case. But you stay faithful to it. When it looks like you got a job, but there's something that's different about it, and say, no, can't go there. Then the Lord give you a job. I don't say that to brag on Brother Ronnie. I'm just thankful for it. I praise the Lord for it. I praise God for it. Because being out of work a year, but he believed the Lord. He believed what God said. He said, the Lord has said it, that this is the way it needs to be. That's what I need to do. And even if it costs me, that's what I'm going to do. Now, patience has had to work as an example. It's amongst us. May the Lord help us to see it. For you that are here tonight not saved, you need Jesus as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Him. That when the Lord, the Son of Glory, came and became a man, that He came and lived and a perfect life, not one sin, not a bit of sin in Him. He lived perfectly, being tempted like you and me, being tried like you and me, and yet was without sin. But the Scripture says that the Father took Him and made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Right? We've been singing about that, right? That we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. God took the sins of His people and put them on His Son, and He bore that condemnation to the cross. He suffered for them there alone on that tree. And He appeased and satisfied the righteous indignation and wrath for that sin of a holy God. And God says, that sacrifice will pay it. And they laid Him in that tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, because God can't stay dead. God can't die. But He became a man so He could. But because He is life, hear it? Jesus, God is life. He is the embodiment of life. Because He is life, He couldn't stay dead. And He, being dead, took His life back again. The Father, as Scripture also says, that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. It's all the same thing. God took back His own life and Jesus raised from the dead so that those that He paid the penalty of sin for can have a no-so hope today of everlasting life. Amen? Amen.